Well, hello everyone, and we are back with another episode of the Deeper Podcast. I'm Austin Slater, that's Dan Kinnis, and Dan, I don't really have anything witty to start us off with today. So unless you've got something like percolating, I figure we might as well jump in.
No, I didn't have anything too witty in mind to, you know, food topics. You know, we were just talking downstairs about what gift card to a food place would people prefer, you know, what's the most universal. So, you know, if you have thoughts about that, I can take that
a
to that
Visa
other discussion.
A Visa gift card, because it can go anywhere. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, unless you need to leave a tip, then maybe you're in trouble.
True. Oh, man. Yeah, so I figure we might as well jump in, Dan. What did we talk about on Sunday?
Finishing up the fruit of the Spirit. Hard to believe, but we were up to that last fruit listed, which is self-control. And as we talked about, put there for a reason, put some emphasis on that one, just like love was emphasized at the beginning. And for good reason, because self-control, you could say, speaks into all these other fruits. It's what really is necessary to fight off the fruit of the flesh, all those negative characteristics we've been looking at in that passage. And so we just talked again about what is self-control, got into a few different aspects of it, both maybe on a negative side with self-indulgence and then a positive side, thinking about discipline and even a freedom that comes with self-control. And then, as we have explored, does God exhibit this? A little different for self-control, and we talked about that, and then just tried to think about, how can we be practicing this more? Maybe what do we need to be facing if we're going to practice it more? Some of the things that we tend to indulge in, which is, something we all deal with. And so, hopefully another practical message, but also I think when it comes to self-control, something we all know that sometimes we do okay and other times not as well. So,
and it's really interesting because self-control is really like you need self-control in order to do all these other ones well. Similar to love is really part of the reason of why we do all these other ones. So I really like how it's kind of bookended.
Yeah. Yeah, the Spirit at work in the ordering of those things, too, through Paul. So
absolutely. And I really did like, Dan, your explanation of self-control giving us kind of a healthy focus or aim for our spiritual lives. There's a great corollary I thought of that in the world of working out in a gym context.
Yeah.
So some of you may remember, but when I first came to Friendship, I was not in a very healthy physical shape. It was to the point that actually shortly after coming on staff, I had my doctor tell me, hey, Austin, look, you are being a little too self-indulgent with a lot of these things. You need to get your eating under control, take proactive steps for your health. So I started going to the gym. And if any of you have ever started going to the gym after a long period of not going to the gym, you know very quickly that the physical labor of working out is the easy part. Mm. And the hard part is really just getting that self-control to keep going to the gym, to keep maintaining what I'm eating, you know, to really just, that's the really hard part of it. And later you said, again, you know, self-control maintains the freedom we have in Christ. Once I got physically healthy again, as those of you who have gotten physically healthy after this will know, your life is so much more free. You can do so many more things. You can enjoy life so much more. And so I just really did appreciate that, the way you framed that, because it was something that was very practical for me, and especially in this gym context. But Dan, as with our physical health, we need to have this discipline, this self-control for our spiritual health, and especially in the maintenance phase, because it can be, it's, you know, one thing to start it, it's another to keep it going. If you've ever done a New Year's resolution, you know, that first 2 weeks of January are great. And then it's hard to maintain that. So, Dan, I was wondering if you have any advice for starting new spiritual practices in a sustainable way. And then if you have any advice for getting back on the horse if we've fallen off of that self-control and discipline.
Yeah, it's good. I love that analogy. We didn't go deep into that in the sermon, but the gym or diet exercise one, I think most people can relate to that. And the way we talked about it, to be able to say no to some things and to say yes to good ones. And how that's the opposite of what we all, it's very easy to say, no, I'm not going to go to the gym this morning. I'm tired.
I almost didn't go this morning. Right. I was so tired, but
To be able to say yes. But the more you build that in, the better. And to build that in as spiritually or in a physical sense too, I think we need to start where we can legitimately begin. So to use the example we've been using here, thinking of the physical workout, if I'm like, well, you know, I haven't run in 6 years, but now I'm going to go run 5 miles today. Not going to go well, right? You, it might sound good.
I've never lifted weights. I'm going to try and bench press 300 pounds.
Yeah, yeah, you got to build up to it. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with spiritual disciplines. We did this when I was in seminary. Our professors told us it, and we still didn't really listen. You know, he's like, listen, you're going to read. We spent time reading about the disciplines and talking about incorporating them into our rhythms and how good they're going to be. So what do you do? Well, I'm going to pray for 4 hours every day. I'm going to read scripture 4 hours. And then pretty soon you don't even have 24 hours. You're doing all these things. And so it's, you got to be realistic and start where you can. So that might mean if you're just trying to rekindle a life of prayer, maybe don't say at the outset, I'm going to start with an hour a day. That's a big jump. Maybe just say 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And start with that, right? And just take, set aside 5 minutes. I want to spend time with God, just communing with him, having that time with him in prayer. That's good. That's fine. Somebody else might be in an hour. Someone else at the gym is going to look, you know, ripped out and they're bench pressing 500 pounds. That doesn't have to be you right now. Just start where you can. I think another thing, and this comes with the disciplines, is learning what they are and what some of the things we can do are. So, you know, over the years, if I've tried to physically stay in shape, you know, it's good to vary sometimes our workouts. And sometimes you just learn like, oh, I never heard of this, you know, abdominal workout or this arm workout or whatever it is, running technique. And you incorporate that in. Same thing with the disciplines. If we don't know what they are, some are obvious, like prayer and maybe fasting we've heard of or reading scripture. But there might be other things that we didn't really consider, like service, certainly witness. Communal aspects. We talk about feasting with our friend language. So knowing what those things are, and we can maybe even put in, you know, kind of our notes with the episode if we want, you know, books like Foster's Celebration of Disciplines, which get into all of these spiritual disciplines. I was just reading, and it's probably why it was stuck in my mind even for the sermon, John Mark Comer, who's a more recent person, just came out with a book, Practicing the Way. And at the end, when he talks about doing what Jesus did, it's all about the spiritual disciplines. And there's others, too. John Ortberg's written some material about the disciplines as well. So there's places we can go to learn more about this. I'll just say you can first go to the Gospels because Jesus is the source of these practices. Mm-hmm. He's the one we see doing all these things and living the perfect human life, as it were. And so that's where we want to go, too, to live more and more as we're made to live. So that's a couple of ideas. And then knowing yourself, too. I mean, all the disciplines are good, but they're ones that are more closer to who you are, that are going to be more natural for you. Now, I think we need some that are going to push us, but you probably need more of the ones that are just wired like you are. So maybe that balance, just like in workout, you know, sometimes we need to push some muscles that are harder, but there's certain things, ways we're made physically, too, that are going to be. Some of us are distance runners. Some of us are not.
Right.
You know, and some of us have a frame that can handle heavy weight. Some of us don't. And I think that's fitting as spiritually as well to know, like, I'm really, you know, I'm kind of an introvert. So, yeah, solitude, yeah, that's pretty natural. If you're an extrovert, that's going to be a push. Doesn't mean you don't maybe need that from time to time. But lean into who God's made you to be, too. Mm-hmm. And I think it will go better in the long run as we are practicing these disciplines because it will seem more natural for us. So yeah, a couple ideas there. I don't know if you have anything to add.
Well,
but
I really love that, you know, like you learn different workouts and you're like, oh, I never thought of this. I'm going to try and incorporate that because on a spiritual level, very, very apt, very practical too there. So when I was in college, I took a course on spiritual disciplines and it was taught by someone who was Catholic when I'd never really interacted with that. And there were two things that he taught me to do that I still do now that I had never thought about before. And one of them was my own version of praying a rosary. So I bought a rosary and then I just go through and each bead I do, it's, I don't do any of the Catholic prayers or whatnot. I don't know any of them. I'm sure he taught me one. I don't remember it. But just I do my own prayer. And, you know, I do a version of the Jesus prayer, which is the second one, which is, you know, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Mm-hmm. And each beat, I'll just go through and do that. And then once I'm done with the whole rosary, I'm done. Mm. That's that moment. And that's really good. Like, I've got my sets and I got my reps and I know what, you know, it's something I can practically do.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't something I had thought I could do.
Yeah.
So that was just one of the things that came to mind as far as that. So I really did appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Because like within the disciplines themselves, there's different ways you can do that, right? Reading scripture, you can just be reading. You could listen to scripture being read. You can do Lectio Divina, this kind of, you know, really dwelling in a particular word. I mean, there's lots of ways to do even the individual disciplines that can vary. Just like, you know, yeah, you can work on your biceps in a lot of different ways. You can work on your quads in a lot of different ways. And so our spiritual muscles, you know, you and I might be doing the same practice of reading scripture, but maybe different things work better for us. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, explore it. And
How do we get back in if we've kind of fallen off the horse then? How do we start these habits back up?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, kind of what we said before, maybe, you know, starting small.
Yeah.
You know,
readjusting our goals.
Don't go deep. You know, it's a good thing, but you gotta be realistic, mm-hmm. right? And coming back in and asking for help. If you know someone that you look up to, we were talking in Men's Life this morning about just spiritual weighty people we've known in our lives, and sometimes you don't even remember like things they've said, or it's just like their presence in your life. You just were impacted by it. That kind of character. If you have people like that in your life, those are good people to ask. You know, how do you grow in your faith? How are you staying connected mm-hmm. with the Lord? And no doubt, too, they'll have maybe surprising to us times when they say, oh, but I felt disconnected at times, but I still try to go in these practices and do them. So talking to those kind of people that can maybe help us, maybe they open some new techniques up to us, ways of connecting, things they've been doing to help mm-hmm. us learn. As we said, we might need help with these things, too. Yep. From others.
It's a very communal thing, which brings me directly to my next question. Obviously, self-control is not something I can practice on your behalf, Dan. No. I can't not eat food on your behalf.
Right.
But we do live in a community, and we are coming alongside to encourage each other. So how can I help someone else work on developing self-control?
Mm-hmm.
Is that even something that I can do?
Yeah, as long as we, of course, are open to it, receiving that help, right? So we talked about that, how especially if we identify things that we know we tend to indulge in, overindulge, let's say, in, that we might very well need help to establish some boundaries and work on some discipline and self-control in that matter. So there needs to be a willingness of someone, you know, if they come to you to work with you on that. But sometimes, you know, again, to take our example further, going to the gym can really help to have someone who is going with you for mutual accountability and encouragement and, you know, seeing positive returns together. And so in the same way, if you know, you have a friend, family member, and you know, like, hey, let's tackle this social media addiction together. We're spending way too much time doom scrolling and going through these things. Like, yeah, I'm in on that. Let's do that. And you can encourage each other. Like, I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me, but...
Well, and that's so good. Even if also, and this is one thing that Danik and I have done in the past together, is if one of us is struggling with something and they really want to get better at it, even if you're not struggling with that thing, scaling back alongside with them mm-hmm. can be incredibly helpful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I was just talking to someone a week or so ago. They ran the Grand Rapids, like, half marathon. It was him and his wife, right? And, you know, just saying, like, he does better at the long-distance running. But he ran at her pace to kind of help and encourage her along the way so that, you know, she could complete it, feel good, have that encouragement. And that's kind of what you're saying. In this case, maybe whatever it is, maybe you're not struggling with that as much, not as tempted to overindulge, but you can run alongside someone. And no doubt it's been beneficial for you because mm-hmm. it's keeping you aware of, like, well, this could become a problem. It's not bad for you either, but you're also being helpful for someone else who's asking for that, you know, that help to kind of be disciplined, self-controlled. So, yeah, and you might have techniques too. Maybe you have had some victory. I mean, I've had some things in my life that I used to be more indulgent in that, thanks be to God, I'm not as much now. So you might have some wisdom to offer and say, here's how I saw it for me. It might not be exactly the same for you, but there's maybe things you could try there that have been helpful. So... like I said, we don't want to be the ones like, let me be the dispenser of wisdom and righteousness.
That will probably backfire heavily if you try that.
Yeah. But we do want to be trusted resources, right? And sometimes it comes up, sometimes someone will share, like, I've been struggling with this. And that's an open opportunity to say, oh, yeah, I appreciate you trusting me with that. You know, would you want to talk about it more? Maybe ways we can deal with this. But yeah, I think that kind of humble approach to sharing together, learning together, trying to practice self-control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then what does it mean to exhibit self-control as a community? And this might be giving a little foreshadowing for some of our conversation next Sunday. But we know that on the individual level, we have these spiritual practices that we can work on individually. But communities will often exemplify both the fruit of the spirit and the fruit of the flesh. Different communities have things that they do really well and things that they don't do as well. So how could we practice self-control as a larger church body? And what is our individual responsibility to developing this for the community? Because how does that even work?
Yeah. You know, obviously there's, if as we're working on this together as individuals, it's going to help our collective, you know, spirit and action and character. Some of the same things I think would apply, and maybe some of the application would be to say, we need to talk about this more on that kind of level. We need to have maybe community discussions, because I would say the same thing that I need to look at individually, we need to be aware of as a group, and that is, what do we tend to overindulge in? What tends to be our fruit of the flesh as a community? Because you go to even different cultures, and Austin, you've been in different ones. If I go maybe to a church in Africa, a Christian community, there maybe thing they might indulge in or the fruit of the flesh probably would be different from us here in the United States. And we might be very easily able to identify one another's, but looking in the mirror, sometimes it's harder to see.
We miss the log in our own eye.
Yeah. So like working to like, yeah, what are some of our sins we're tending to, or what are some of the things we tend to put above God, as we talked about it, and naming those and then trying to fight against them together is certainly, I think, a valid piece for us as a community. I feel the weight of this as a leader in the church, because I do believe that some of the ways we exhibit self-control flows right from the ways our leaders voice that, lead it, exemplify it, right? And that's not always the case. Leaders can do it, but there's a lot of truth to, as leaders go, so go the church, or you can fill in any organization really with that. So it's important, one, to be praying for our leaders, but for our leaders to be really pressing into this and seeking it and seeking the fruit of the Spirit and being humble about where we're at. And because as we lead that way, as staff and council and pastors, that gives, I think, more opportunity for the church to practice this and to take it seriously. And just like anything else, it's really hard to, you can still do it, but it's harder to practice the fruit of the flesh if less people around you are doing that, because you kind of notice some of the folly of it more.
It's
so
kind of like, you know, the Planet of the Apes movie, you know, apes together strong. Like that's,
yeah,
as
yeah.
much as that, you know, I say that as a joke, but like truthfully, we are so much stronger when we are addressing these issues as a community.
Yeah. Well, think of, we mentioned Aesop's fable at the outset of the sermon, the flies in the honeypot. Imagine you got the first fly buzz and he goes down there and all the other ones say, yeah, no, that's a bad idea. Well, he might have got out of there quickly because nobody's going in, but all the flies go, well, guess what? Then they're all stuck and they're all in trouble. As a community, I think that's true too. We're all going to have moments where we're off and we're not doing this. But if we don't encourage this and don't go into it together, well, I think it helps, you know, if I'm going the wrong way, if I'm losing self-control, if I'm, you know, being a dissenter, you know, kind of breaking apart the fellowship, but nobody else is joining me, it's going to be easier for me to pull back and get more in the love, joy, peace, fruit of the Spirit. I think that can really be a helpful thing in community. Even praying for each other, this is on my mind because we're doing 1 John 5 this Sunday evening, but praying for each other as we see sinning happen in the community, it's easy to, well, yeah, they're just, you know, off the mark right now. But John says we should be praying for each other in that, and praying, and God works through that prayer. And so that's another way as a community to be striving for the fruit of the Spirit together, and self-control in particular this week. So
And speaking of next week, what more will we be looking at in the, especially Sunday morning, I know is a little different than our normal.
Yeah, it will be different. It seemed fitting, you know, we spent 10 weeks now really in the fruit of the Spirit. You know, it really almost be like 12. We had a week off in there. So we wanted to spend a week just thinking in summary about this, and taking some time to reflect on it together. So Pastor Eric and myself are going to be up front, but more of a conversation. We have a few questions that we're going to kind of ask each other, but then we're going to ask the congregation to respond to as well. And we'll have those questions in our Friday email. But some interaction just between the congregation and thinking about how we've been practicing, what's maybe the hardest fruit for us to practice. You know, is there other fruit of the Spirit that we could list as we see them in Scripture, things like that. And then we just want to close that time really praying for the Spirit's work in our lives as a community, individually, but as a community as well. We want this fruit to be evident. And so I hope that is a powerful way to, this isn't just going to get left behind because we're moving on to Advent in another series. Fruit of the Spirit, it's for every season of life for us. And so, yeah, want to bring that to a close and a little different, but hopefully that helps it sink in even more as we go to the conclusion of the series.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Dan, so much for your time today. Thank you, all of you who have joined and continue to join. This is such a special time of the week for us. So go in peace, and we will see you all next week.